It's currently 34 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. The time is 8:50. Time for the pre-opening market report on WYLL with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Thursday morning, everyone. China's trade surplus rose sharply in December. The monthly trade surplus widened to $31.6 billion in December from $19.6 billion in November. December exports in China soared 14.1% from a year earlier. That's the fastest pace in 7 months and up from just 2.9% growth in the month of November. Imports rose by 6% after being flat in November. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending January 3rd. Here are how the numbers look in millions of metric tons. Wheat this year, 8.6. Corn this year, 0.5. Next year, minus 0.5. Soybeans this year, 11.8. Next year, 3.1. Also this morning, we have word from private exporters reporting to USDA. The export sale of 180,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China. Of that number, 60,000 tons are for delivery during the 2012-13 marketing year and 120,000 tons for delivery during the 2013-14 marketing year. Also this morning, we have option origin sales of 126,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. And we have 281,500 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2012-2013 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,425, is up almost 35 points. The NASDAQ, 3120, up about 15. And the S&P 500 at 1466 is up 5.5 points.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Joining us with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Significant precipitation has occurred in the last 24 to 48 hours across the U.S. southern plains, ending a long period without significant precipitation. There's been some other opportunities for showers occurring periodically there, but this is the first generalized rain event that's impacted portions of southern hard red winter wheat country, as well as the Texas cotton, corn, and sorghum producing areas in months. And the precipitation will certainly go a long way in improving range and pasture conditions. There will still need to be frequent follow-up precipitation to end the drought that continues to prevail in a major way across those areas. Some of the central U.S. plains will pick up on a little bit of moisture from the same storm system today, but we don't expect anywhere near as much moisture there. Anywhere from a tenth to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch of moisture will likely occur. Portions of the Texas Panhandle wheat country yesterday picked up on 1 to 2 inches of moisture. That is going to go a long way towards improving the long-term outlook for some of the wheat in that part of the country. Well, in the Midwest, we expect to see some of the same storm system impact the region, but in a rather minor way. We'll see precipitation work its way through a part of the Midwest over the next day or two, but we're not expecting large volumes of precipitation to evolve. Most everybody will end up seeing only light amounts of precipitation on this first storm system, but there are three total storms coming up through the region. Today's storm will probably produce a tenth to 5 tenths and local amounts to 1 inch of moisture across the western Corn Belt and portions of the central and eastern Midwest. And in fact, some of this precipitation will linger tomorrow. We'll look for that to be followed by two larger storm systems that will impact the Delta initially and move to the northeast across the Ohio River Basin and into southeastern Canada. first disturbance is expected to evolve as we get into the weekend, and it will likely come across most of the Midwest from late Saturday afternoon on into Monday. That will be followed by a second storm system developing in the Delta again, but this time skirting the eastern portions of the Midwest, coming up through Kentucky into West Virginia and Pennsylvania. So some areas in the Midwest won't see as much moisture out of the second storm system, but it will be colder by that point in time, so it might be just a little bit of accumulating snow possible for the system that goes through the southeastern corner of our Midwest during the late weekend and early part of next week. Once that last system is out of the way, we'll be in a cold and dry weather mode for a little while. A little bit of snow shower and snow flurry activity will occur, but we're not expecting it to have a long-term impact on the region. No major storms are likely to come along to produce substantial amounts of snowfall, at least not after we get through the first half of next week. Our temperatures will be trending cooler, but they won't be anywhere near as cold as the readings that will be out there in parts of the plains over this next week. We'll expect our temperatures to cool down quite a bit, running from unseasonably warm readings here over the next 3 days or so, back to temperatures that are a little bit more seasonable next week. The high temperatures this afternoon will be limited to the 30s and 40s north and some 50s in the south. We'll see the big warming trend starting on Friday and continuing on Saturday. Temperatures in the eastern Midwest will likely be in the 50s and 60s in many areas, and we'll likely see that contrast with temperatures in the single digits and teens in the northwestern Corn Belt on Saturday afternoon, while the rest of the western Corn Belt will see temperatures mostly in the 20s, 30s, and some 40s. The cold air will work its way further to the east as we get into next week, with much of the Midwest seeing temperatures run from the teens and 20s northwest to the 30s in the southeast. And our low temperatures at night will drop well below zero in the northwestern portions of the region, while the southeast will see temperatures mostly in the 20s with a few teens possible. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's go ahead and look at the electronic trade. In Kansas City, March wheat 805 up 3 3/4. July 821 and 3/4 up 2 3/4. March wheat in Chicago 752 1/4 up 6 3/4. July 766 3/4 up 5 1/4. March corn 698 1/4 up 4. July 688 3/4 up 1/2. December 581 1/4 down 1/2. January soybeans 1423 up 3 1/4. July, well, first March 1389 1/2 up 4. July 1374 1/2 up 2 1/4. And November is unchanged at 1289. January soybean meal unchanged at 411.30. March 409.40 down 20. January soybean oil 49.40 up 16. March 49.96 up 32. February live cattle 132.02 1/2 up 47 1/2. January feeders 151.70 up 20. And February lean hogs 84.72 1/2 up 52 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Looks like what producers and traders did was print out the export sales report, looked at it for about one nanosecond, and put it in the outbox.
Yeah, and I don't think this was any big surprise that we saw marketing year low export bookings on the corn. No surprise at all. I think the thing that I'm watching here in the corn is these growing inverses. We've got March really gaining on July so far this week, and I that shows to me that there is commercial interest. It may not be export interest. It may be feed interest, but or ethanol interest, but there's certainly growing commercial side interest in this corn market.
We'll know a whole lot more after we see that quarterly grain stocks report on Friday.
Yeah, I think the quarterly grain stocks report is a super important report because it does give us an idea of livestock feeding. And I guess my question is, are we feeding all corn, or are we feeding barley or feed wheat, or where's that going to end up? And the stocks report gives you a pretty good indication. The other thing that's going to be important is, where are those corn stocks located? And my guess is that they're not located in Indiana or much in Illinois.
No, whatever we're getting shipped here probably.
Yeah, and so that should show up on the off-farm stocks. And I think off-farm stocks will be probably, from a percentage standpoint, record high in Illinois.
And that's probably a reflection of the aflatoxin issues last fall, yes?
Absolutely, it is.
Mm-hmm. Turn your attention to the livestock side. What do you see there today?
Livestock market sure had a puny day yesterday, and we took a really hard hit in the hogs. I think we're seeing packers in a pretty good position, and so there's more downside probably to come. Futures on the hogs, though, probably just a little firmer, just because there's a big Saturday kill expected. But we're seeing strong basis here in the cattle. We've still got a huge, about a $4 premium Feb cattle to the cash price.
Thank you, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Harvest corn at 5.81 down 3/4. Harvest beans for 13 at 12.89 unchanged. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.